The super heavy bass line in James Brown's 1970 hit Sex Machine was supplied by Bootsy Collins. Bootsy continued to push funk in new directions, teaming up in the mid-70s with George Clinton in Parliament Funkadelic, which combined funk with science fiction and psychedelia. Then he formed the spin-off group, Bootsy's Rubber Band, that was focused on his colorful stage persona. I spoke with Bootsy Collins in 1994. Here he is with James Brown in 1970.
1, 2, 3, hit it! Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul and I'm super bad. I got soul and I'm super bad. Now I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes it's deep. That tells me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice, I wanna try myself a few. I got soul and I'm super bad.
Well, listen, I went back to James Brown's autobiography to see what he had to say about you.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So he writes, I think Bootsy learned a lot from me. When I met him, he was playing a lot of bass.
Yeah.
The ifs, ands, and the buts.
Yeah, he's right.
I got him to see the importance of the one in funk.
Yeah.
The downbeat at the beginning of every bar.
That's right.
I got him to key in on the dynamic parts of the one.
That's right.
Instead of playing all around it.
Yeah.
Then he could do all of his stuff in the right places after the one.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, absolutely correct.
No, was it hard to make the adjustment to playing on the one?
No, because I knew he knew something. I mean, you know, and I was there to learn. It wasn't like, this is my part and I'll fly if I want to. I knew it was James's party, you know, and whatever he knew, I wanted to find out because, you know, he just had this, the band was the tightest band in the land and he had this thing going on. We wanted to find out what the heck it was, you know.
Now, had you been playing on the 2 and 4 before?
I started playing on with a guitar and I wasn't actually a bass player yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was learning to play bass, you know, and I wanted to play bass. So it was like all those other ifs, ands, and buts is what I was playing when I picked up the bass, you know. It was like, oh, you mean I got to play on the dominant note? Oh, okay. So it was like all brand new to me, you know, and I just didn't feel like a normal bass player, you know, so... But by James telling me that, it all kind of made sense. And once I started hearing it, you know, what was actually happening when I did that, it was like, oh, and then I could still do this and I could still do that. So it was a groove. It was really a groove.
Now let me play one of the recordings you made with James Brown. Why don't we hear Sex Machine? And do you want to say anything about the rhythm you're playing on this?
That's pretty much the whole rhythm is what I figure I've been doing ever since. When you hear Sex Machine, that's pretty much where I'm at now.
Okay, here we go.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
On the scene,
get on up
like a sex machine.
Get on up,
get up,
get on up.
Stay on the scene,
get on up
like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm. Stay on the scene like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling, sure as your bone. Get it together, right on, right on. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
My guest is Bootsy Collins. Now, tell me how your image changed when you started playing with James Brown. What you did on stage, what you wore on stage.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. What I wore on stage. Oh, man. Well, as you know, I may not know. Those were the days like in the 60s, getting ready to go into the 70s, but... You know, it was another kind of movement going on, and kids were, like, coming up front and wearing, like, bleached jeans and t-shirts and afros and, you know, the granny glasses. And, you know, we was all freaking out. We was having a freaking party, you know. And I don't know. Then here we are. We're playing with James Brown and, you know, we're in the Army now. You know, it's like, whoa, you know. So it's like, but it was good for the fact that it kind of brought us off of the street. We were out there doing what everybody else was doing, acting crazy, throwing firebombs and doing everything, you know. So getting with James kind of brought us off of the street. And, you know, I think we kind of realized that. And at the same time, you know, it gave us the opportunity of really doing something that we wanted to do. So, you know, we kind of put everything else in the back seat because this is what we wanted to do. Even though, you know, we wanted to dress crazy. We didn't know how crazy we wanted to dress, but we didn't want to wear suits. You know, we knew that.
So you were wearing matching suits on stage while everybody else was wearing jeans and tie-dyed t-shirts?
Yeah, while this movement was going on, the peace, the love, that was going on. And, you know, here we are, you know, getting stuck with wearing suits and patent leather shoes, you know. And but at that time, you know, it was a start of it, so it was cool, you know. We said, well, we'll eat this because, you know, we definitely, you know, want to be with James, you know. So if you want to be with James, that's what you had to do.
Bootsy Collins recorded in 1994. Let's get back to the interview I recorded with James Brown last year. Some of the musicians in your band became famous in their own right later on. Maceo Parker, Fred Wesley, Bootsy Collins. And, you know, I interviewed Bootsy Collins a few years ago. And one of the things he said, I mean, he loved playing in your band. But one of the things he said is that it was hard for him to be so disciplined. It was around 1970, the era when you were recording Sex Machine. And he said, you know, everyone was freaking out, but we were standing up there being the tightest band in the land, having to wear suits and patent leather shoes, and you couldn't jump out in the audience and freak out and act crazy, and that's what we wanted to do. Did you know that someone like, say, Bootsy Collins really wanted to, like, be wild and crazy, and you wanted this really tight, disciplined band?
Well, I taught them organization. They didn't have organization. And discipline is very important. You wouldn't take, you know, I wanted them where they could play at West Point as well as play in the street on the corner. I mean, West Point, a Navy Academy place. I wanted to be able to go anywhere. And see, when I went to play Poppin' Bag and stuff like that, I could play for the president, then I'd go and play for the people in the street. That's what you call being totally accepted and being totally straight about what you felt.
Now, do you ever find musicians? I know you used to find musicians, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I'll do it now, but, you know, the musicians now, they have a lot more respect and they're more intense on doing right.
So, Mr. Brown, what are some of the things you find musicians for back in the day?
Oh, a lot of major things. I did a total program, like a West Point. They got to be clean, neat. The shirt got to be pressed. Shoes got to be shine. The suit got to be pressed. They got to play correct. They can't be looking off when they should be watching me, because then they miss something. I find them, because I don't have time to disturb what I'm doing. I mean, we always can get through it, but by the same token, those people would rather not get fined, so they have a little bit more discipline. And that's in every situation. I'm sure the President of the United States has ways of making people account for themselves.
What's the biggest fine you ever gave?
I don't know. Maybe 500.
Now, I want to change musical directions for a second. And through your career, you've recorded, you know, ballads as well as you know, of funk. And in 1969, you made an album with a jazz band, the Louis Belson Band. And it was mostly or completely ballads on here. And I thought we'd listen to one of those ballads because it's a really different side of you. You know, we were talking before about how you kind of focus more on rhythm than melody in a lot of your songs. But here you are really focusing on the melody. Can you tell us why you wanted to record this album of jazz standards with a jazz band behind you?
Well, I really liked Oliver Nelson because he made those horns shout.
And he did all the arrangements on the record.
Yeah, he did. I wanted his stuff, but you know, my concept, which was so different. There's so many customers. I need a key to turn me on, which was very hard for me because it was Louis Belson's song, who was a drummer, and his wife was Miss Pearl Bailey. It was different. It was also different for me to do It's a Man's World, because I did What Kind of Fool Am I the Sammy Davis thing, and I knew I wanted to go there, so I heard those people do it, and I knew I would do it, so it was really quite an experience.
Well, actually, that's the track I wanted to play, What Kind of Fool Am I?
What kind of fool am I? Yes, I...
It's so interesting to hear you sing like this, so why don't we play it and I'll sit back and listen.
You know, you sound like you're getting ready to sing something then.
No, I wish.
Okay. Let's take a listen now.
Okay.
What kind of am I who never fell in love? It seems that I'm the only one that I've been thinking of. Tell me, what kind of man is this? An empty shell, a lonely cell with an empty heart may dwell. What kind of lips are these that lied with every kiss, that whispered empty words of love, that left me alone like this? Why can't I fall in love like any other man? And maybe, maybe then I'll know what kind of fool I am.
We'll hear more of our 2005 interview with James Brown after a break. This is Fresh Air.